Very pleased to have with us right now from NFL Network, Andrew Siciliano. And, Andrew, you have a Browns affinity.
Yes.
And for the longest time, because I knew of this affinity, I thought you were from Cleveland. That's not true. But tell the story of how you became a Browns fan.
Yeah, it's blame my father. We always joke you get religion from your mother and you get sports from your father. I actually grew up outside D.C. in
okay.
Northern Virginia, Reston, Virginia. I mean, 5 minutes down the road from Redskin Park where they train.
Right.
So I should be a Redskins fan or raised as a Redskins fan. But my dad is from Cleveland. He went to the old Cathedral Latin and he went to Carroll. And my dad raised us as diehard Browns fans. He claims that, you know, he intended us to be Skins fans growing up there, but you get religion from your mother and you get football from your father, and my brother and I were raised as diehard Browns fans, and as kids we used to come and visit all my dad's family, my grandmother,
right,
still in Mayfield Heights, and we used to hang out in Lakeland and go to training camp.
That's
and
awesome.
I still have all my, like, what is it, ShopRite Browns training camp program from when I was a kid.
Wow.
with Kosar and Slaughter and Mac.
Wow.
And Paul Farron and all those guys.
Embracing the tradition. We love this. And tell me this, because you're in a position, of course, working with NFL Network. It's all about seeing multiple games and the experience. So in your regular workday, your regular, mm-hmm. say, Sunday, how do you keep that balance between paying attention to your favorite team, the Browns, and then paying attention to the entire league, which you have to do for your job?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan first and foremost. I think, Vic, I probably speak for you as well. We wouldn't be in this business if we didn't love football to begin with.
Right.
So, yes, I follow the Browns, but especially for Total Access, you got to follow the other 31 as well. What's difficult for me, all of us at one point who work at the network, we all grew up as a fan of one team
Something,
or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, Rich grew up as a Jets fan,
right,
for example, on Staten Island. So we all root for our teams, but you obviously have to put your best foot forward, and I would never bring that rooting interest to the air. It's difficult for me on Sunday hosting the Red Zone channel on DirecTV,
yeah,
because then you could really – then when things go badly, chances are my mic is hot in 3 seconds to take you to another game. So in 07 when they won 10 games.
Yes.
And there were some roller coaster moments in that season. That was a test for my mute button and for the guy in audio who had to ride that mic for 7 hours every Sunday.
All right, so as a Browns fan, your team has been busy.
Mm-hmm.
This team has been very busy in free agency. Not a shock there. I think we thought right along that this would be, certainly that was the stated goal of Jimmy Haslam as owner, Joe Banner as CEO, but they went out and not only talked the talk, but walked the walk with their signings. Your impressions of bringing aboard, start with Paul Kruger, right on down the line, Desmond Bryant, your impressions of what they've done so far.
You can't have enough bodies on your front seven. That's my biggest thing. And I know a lot of people have said, well, how do you make all these parts fit, particularly going to the 3-4 now? And how do you take these bodies and plug them in? And honestly, I'll let Ray Horton figure that out because he knows more about their skill set than I do. But what I would say is you can never have enough of those players up front. Look at the Giants. I mean, they did for a while. They came at you in waves,
right,
with all those D linemen. And I don't care how you plug them in, whether you put Taylor in the middle and Ruben on the outside, or whether you put Brian in the middle. I don't care. You have bodies. You have more talent. You are a better team up front than you were 10 days ago. And that depth will only serve you well deep into the season.
Andrew Siciliano, he is with NFL Network, an anchor there, and also – you know him now as a Browns fan and a very avid one.
Let the secret out.
I don't know. I think it was a poorly kept secret. But it
has been.
But it's a good thing. Andrew, I want to ask you this too. The changes that have been made, coaching staff would be another thing. You brought up Ray Horton, Norv Turner running the offense, Rob Chudzinski running the entire team as head coach, and you brought up the 2007 season when the Browns had their best offense rolling, and Rob was their, mm-hmm. Since their return in 99, Rob was their offensive coordinator. Just your thoughts on how this staff has come together and what you see, because being a Browns fan means, unfortunately, adjusting to change every
sure.
couple of years.
I think I was kind of aggravated a couple of weeks ago during the whole coaching search because the fans, to me, got a little negative. Oh, it's not a big name. It's not this. It's not Chip Kelly. You know what? Just let it play out. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was my message too. I know a lot of fans were blowing up my Twitter feed. Hey, let it play out. There's no reason to get angry that the Chip Kelly thing didn't happen. The guy's never coached a day in the National Football League. I wish him well, right. And he could be a very good coach. But there was no, to me, crying over that spilt milk was worthless. Go back to 07. The offense worked well. Now, what that offense had that this offense does not have is Joe Jurevicius and Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow in the prime of their careers poised right. for breakout seasons. Obviously, you'd like to put more parts around your quarterback now. You'd like to see a quarterback who can get the ball downfield, and the question is, who's that quarterback going to be? Is it Brandon Whedon for another year? Does he prove his worth? I am excited about Chudd and Norv Turner and Ray Horton. Those three guys, I am very excited to see what they can do with the pieces they have. They need more pieces. I think we all agree on that.
Sure.
But I'm excited to see what their vision looks like.
What's your thought just in general about this meeting? And it comes at a time when the league certainly is in great shape from a labor standpoint with the agreement being in place for the next, I guess it's got eight more years on it. So the business is good. But just in general, the league's message, the theme of this meeting is don't just assume just because we've got this done, everything's great, that you still have to strive to be better. And it sounds like, again, the issues of player safety, mm-hmm. Procuring, investing in the game, trying to make the fan experience better, those are all top items on the agenda.
I think the player safety thing always rings true. I know it's one thing that we focus on a lot in Total Access because it's something that the league really, really has taken up passionately moving forward. And you will see rule changes come through on Wednesday. I think the lowering the helmet thing is going to pass.
Yeah.
And that goes right to the health and safety and future of the game. And the commissioner has taken it upon himself to make that really, I don't want to say his only focus, but really one of his primary focuses, and with good reason. You have to make the game safer, and I know they're talking player safety again this morning.
Right.
It is a huge, huge part of this league moving forward, and that to me, again, I only got here last night, but that to me is one of those ones that is going to ring through the entire week.
The tuck rule may be going away.
You see the Raiders tweet last week?
Yes.
The Raiders actually tweeted out a photo of Brady losing the ball.
Right.
11
right.
years ago.
Yeah, I think they got it down to 11 years,
right.
So many days, so many hours, but yeah. Who's counting type of thing.
I'm all for it. I'm all for getting rid of it. I don't think anyone likes the rule. And I think we're to the point now as well where people confuse the already confusing nature of the rule. If you go back to the playoff game between the Broncos and the Ravens, you had right. people screaming on Twitter and respected – I mean, people that we both respect in this business saying that's the tuck rule. It wasn't the tuck rule
right.
in any way whatsoever. And the officials got it right on the field by not applying the tuck rule. But we're to the point now where whenever we see a quarterback fumble, everyone jumps up and yells tuck rule.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take it off the books. And if it – there's like the Mike Pereira likes to say, if you have 100 guys in a bar and 99 of them think it's one thing, then chances are that's what the call is.
Sure.
I'm messing up Mike's exact
no,
way to describe things.
It's right. like common sense.
Exactly.
Logic, yeah.
And and normally you can look at it and tell if it's a fumble.
Sure.
Get rid of this.
Andrew, you're not a fumble. You're a very true professional, and we appreciate the fact that you joined us.
Hey, Vic, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right, we're at the league meetings in Phoenix. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up from Phoenix on ESPN 850 WKNR.